I have Witten here. She is my guest today, January 25th, 07. I'm going to start by playing a track from a CD she brought in, and then we'll get into the interview and some live stuff. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. This is Witten. Listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Witten. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. Sorry about the parking.
That's okay. That's okay.
Many of you may know we broadcast from the median strip of a major freeway, so
it's okay. I made some friends on the way.
Oh, good. So, Witten, where are you from?
I'm from Reno, Nevada.
And how long have you been in LA?
I've been in LA for the last 2 years. And before that, I was on the road for about 5 years doing my music, another type of music, but now I'm on a whole new road.
And are you settling here in LA? Is this sort of your new musical home for a while? Or
for a little while.
I'm a nomadic musician.
Yeah, I'm more of a mountain kind of gal, but, you know, I can take vacations, I guess.
How is the music scene different in LA, just off the top of your head, from what you experienced in Nevada?
Oh, my gosh. You know, any big city is a different country, really, in the United States. I mean, I've lived on the East Coast and the South, and it's different, man. It's just different. The people are different. They look different, even. They talk different. They like different music. big cities have a lot of diversity in it, you know, and so there's a lot more to be entertained by.
Do you think people are more open to your style, to your music, in a big city where there is a lot of diversity?
Oh, sure, sure. I think everywhere else, people like familiarity. You know, they like cover songs. They like a lot of people like country music. You know, the places I've been, anyways. I mean, of course, granted, there's some cool places and people that are really eclectic, or you know. But yeah, it's, you find, and any place you go, there's always the same type of people. But you know, it's, I don't know, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Why don't we jump into a live song, and then we get back from that. We'll talk about, you know, sort of defining yourself as a little bit different than just a girl on a guitar.
Okay.
You know, the traditional singer-songwriter role. You know, sort of defining your sound. What makes Whitten Whitten? What would you like to play first?
I'm going to play a song called "For Me."
All right, you're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org. My guest is Whitten. Whenever you're ready.
Thank you. Nothing's gonna change today. Searching for a better way. But I love the way you've made me feel. But I love the way you've made it all so real. Say you'd do anything for me. Secrets you hide destroys my heart's trust like a lie.
So I'm sure I'm not the first to bring this up, but you know, the thing that stands out immediately is you have a different style of vocalization than a lot of artists in the sort of folk singer-songwriter vein.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about the first time you tried singing. Even maybe it was as a kid.
Oh my gosh.
What was the first time it came out in a sort of lyrical form?
Oh my gosh. Well, I started singing and dancing when I was about 6 years old. And I became a huge hit, huge star with a Sunshine Generation, which was this little group dressed in gold sparkles. And we performed for all the age homes, the old age homes. And I did that for about 3 or 4 years. So Reno knew me pretty well when I was, little. And I started writing heavily when I was about 16 or 17. And then I left home when I was about 17 and just straight went on the road and started doing music.
Was there some sort of switch that turned in your brain where you said, you know what, I have to do this. I have to go make music on my own?
Well, you know, the first song that you played, Sound of Music, is about my mom. And my mom had 6 kids because the movie Sound of Music. So all the kids in my family have their own bands. I know that it sounds kind of funny.
It's fascinating.
So I was, you know, I was really influenced by all of my siblings and my mother and, you know, my dad's an actor. And so it's kind of just in my blood. And I went to Catholic school growing up, and living in Reno was definitely a whole experience. I mean, you had the nature, the mountains, but then you had the gambling and the cigarettes and you know, it was...
Right, all this natural beauty and then all this unnatural sin.
Absolutely. So it was definitely fascinating growing up there.
So tell me about how you develop your particular style of singing and how, you know, how it's different from, you know, something you might hear in a Broadway musical or something else. You know, there's definitely a quality to your voice that it sounds like you've developed that's uniquely Whitten's.
Well, thank you. You know, people ask me who my influences are, and I really don't have many. I have my you know, brothers and sisters, and, you know, a couple. I listen to world stuff like Gypsy Kings, to Ikova, to just...
I love Ikova. That's awesome.
And cool. Not a lot of people know who they are. Dead Can Dance, to Billie Holiday. So I only have just a few, but, you know, I have people come up to me and they're like, oh, you know, you, how do you do that bird thing with your voice?
And do you know what they mean immediately?
No, I mean, you know, I do kind of a flutter, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know. I just do it because that's all I know how to do. As far as, I mean, I'm very artistic and I have a lot of different hobbies, but, it's just something that, you know, I was given.
Is there one thing that's more important than the other for you? The sound of the music that you do versus the lyrical content of the music you do? Is it more important that people understand the songs or, you know, what you've written, or that they appreciate the sound, your voice, the way you play guitar and everything?
Well, there's definitely two different types of musicians. There's the musician that wants to be heard, and that's why they do, just like you said. And then the other that just wants to make money.
Hmm.
Right? Well, of course I want to make money doing what I do, but I'm a real artist, and I like to be heard and understood. And there's nothing like having, you know, I've played shows and I've looked in the audience and there's people singing my songs. And I'm like, holy crap. You know, it touches a certain part of you that you're like, this is exactly what I need to do.
When let's talk about your writing a little bit. Are there certain themes that you come back to when you set out to write a song?
Well, that's interesting because I'm like a rabbit. I can write a song like seriously every other 5 minutes. Like it's a problem. Nobody seems to, you know, keep up with me.
Like an idea comes in your head and you're like scrambling for a pen and
yeah,
paper.
Well, you know, I have a book of lyrics that I, you know, that I've written, and I just go in there and I can write. But as far as actually sitting down and writing my lyrics, it takes me time. It takes me thought. Those are two different worlds for me.
But do you write more about personal experience or storytelling?
Absolutely. You know, I it's hard for me to write something make believe.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be real, or I don't feel it, you know, or I have to be touched by it in some way. A story, or I write about love, because that's, you know, that's the one thing that's the most powerful in life is love, and so yeah,
What about instruments? What did you start playing first?
Oh, that's something, I'll tell you. I started playing guitar less than a year ago. And I was on the road, like I said, prior to my new music. And my guitarist decided to take a hike. And I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I have all these shows booked. I have all these A&R reps waiting for my music. I was almost there. The taste of
it. It's always something, huh?
Always something. And so she decided to take a hike. And I'm like, what the hell am I going to do? And so before I was about to jump off a bridge, not literally, but my sister comes to me and she says, I'm going to buy you this here guitar and you're going to play it. And I'm like, no, but I can't. I've tried for, 12, 13, 14 years. I tried to play guitar. And a year before my guitar took a hike, she taught me how to play percussion, hand percussion. I had no rhythm. I mean, I grew up dancing. And I just wanted to play an instrument so bad. So bad. And I'm like, and you know, I'm playing with the shaker and everything and while we're grooving as a band. And she stops and she's like, dude, she's like, you need to stop. you have no rhythm. And I'm like, but I just want to play. So she showed me just one certain, percussion beat. And so I would sit in my car and I'd turn on the radio or a CD I'd put in. And I would sit there with my egg shaker.
And play
along. And played every song. And so then a year goes by, and I picked up the guitar, and I think it's the only reason I can play. Because I tried for years. And I'll tell you something.
So now that you have that sort of understanding of the basic rhythm, you can kind of translate that from your brain to your hands.
It's that, and also when something tragic happens to you, usually people don't change unless something drastic happens. Like a big change.
Right.
When they knew all along, it's just like festering in their gut that like, this isn't right. Anything that you want, you can have. If you want it bad enough, you can get it. Whatever your intentions are, they show in your results.
Right.
If it's really true. And that's how you feel. So I believe anything's possible.
So now you play the guitar. And yeah. is that the only instrument that you play right now?
Yeah.
All right. So I know you also, this is sort of new for you, doing this singer-songwriter guitar thing.
Yeah.
You have another style of music that you sing with, world music, and you've been doing things with electronica. We'll get into that later in the show because I know you brought some music for us to listen to, and we'll talk about that. Mm-hmm. Why don't we just play, we'll play another of the acoustic tracks that you brought in.
Okay.
And then we'll come back and we'll talk some more and we'll do some more live stuff.
Awesome.
My guest is Whitten. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
You're on Channel 5 News. Hear your girl sits alone and sings, has a strange jaw. Where does she come from? Next.
Peculiar girl sings under an avocado tree. God bless the voice, smooth as sand. It's up a story time. Cancer ate her jaw away. Paranoid stares attacked her hunger. It's more of ignorance than apathy. Told a special story.
She seems to be suffering from a social disorder.
Come out from behind your curtains of hair. Yeah.
armed with sharply witty barbs. It seems that she has enough to last her a lifetime. This is Barbara from Channel 5 News, wishing you a healthy child. Back to you, Bob.
Back on Is Good on killradio.org with Witten. And your MySpace address is myspace.com/WHITTON, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
That's my world site.
Okay, and then you also have Witten Acoustic.
Right. The stuff you're hearing right now is myspace.com/WittenAcoustic.
So why don't we start with this then? What is world music? What does that mean?
It means everybody can like it. Anybody can like it.
Whether you speak the language.
Yeah. No matter if you're, what color you are, what, you know, sex you are, what, I don't know. World is a place where you can't really, everybody puts world where, you know, you can't put it anywhere else.
Right.
You know, so.
What do you think drew you to the whole idea of world music? Because we were talking, while that song was playing, we were talking a little bit about how, you know, you can sort of tell there's still, even though this is singer-songwriter, acoustic, folk, rock, impossible to categorize, mm-hmm. but there's definitely a touch of worldliness to it. It doesn't sound like all of the influences are from the United States. There's definitely a sort of global feel to mm-hmm. it. So why do you think you were drawn to that idea in the first place?
You know, I really don't know. Growing up, I listened to, you know, random things, Gypsy Kings. I lived in Toronto, Canada, and so the community there was listening to only Gypsy Kings. And so I was just, you know. And then bands like Dead Can Dance and Ecova, to Billie Holiday. Like I said earlier, I don't have many influences other than my other siblings. So it's just kind of what's innate in me and that's what comes out.
So just sort of know what you like. And
Yeah.
Now, you had experience at a young age performing live mm-hmm. in front of people.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine people in old homes are probably a pretty easy audience.
Yeah.
They don't throw a lot of things at you.
Well, no, you'd be surprised. Some of them are really grumpy.
Yeah.
They're just, oh, yeah.
Well, what about when you, especially when you made the transition to playing the guitar yourself and, mm-hmm. and really being up there as a complete solo identity?
Mm-hmm.
What was that first experience like, putting yourself out there on the stage? Was
you
it nerve-wracking?
It was incredibly nerve-wracking.
Where was it? Was it at a music venue or?
Well, no, you know, 2 weeks into playing guitar, I came back. I went to Branson, Missouri, mind you, and for about a month and a half, and that's where my sister was. And she took care of me, and thank God for it. Oh, I was just a mess. And she bought me the guitar. I come back 2 or 3 weeks later after I get the guitar, and where my old guitarist was, I went to the open mic, and I walked up there and I said, "Sign me up." And everybody was shocked, you know. And I went up there and I played my songs. I wrote 6 new songs. I played 3 of them. It was amazing. For the first 6 months into playing, I had a really hard time being on stage. I mean, I can go up there and dazzle you with my dance moves and my voice and, you know, but when it comes to playing an instrument and being completely naked on stage, it's, and there's no words for it. Really. I mean, I have the utmost respect for the singer-songwriters that I've seen that I didn't have before. You know, I'd see singer-songwriters, like the typical girl, you know,
right.
Jewel up there, and I'd be like, meh, been there, done that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, since I'm playing my own guitar, and I'm up there by myself, you know, the first 6 months I was doing it, I seriously cried through my songs.
Wow.
It was so emotionally I was just a wreck.
What did the audience think of all that?
Some of them were like, get this whiny girl off stage. No. They're like, I have no idea. I mean, some of them were just so, you know, anytime you see an audience, it's like they're watching TV. So I really don't really know unless they tell me, mm-hmm. you know.
Do you have a sort of a following of Witten fans that come to your shows and buy your music?
I do. Now, since my music's different, my music prior to what I'm doing now, it was under Witten. It was me, but I had a full band, and it was different music. Mm-hmm. It was my guitarist and I's music. It was more influenced of like Dave Matthews and Ani DiFranco, and that was her style. So... I have those fans still, but now since I've been doing this, I'm slowly collecting a different type of crowd. Yeah.
And is that, is promo a big part of what you do? Because I know it's really hard for musicians, but it is one of the sort of necessary evils of doing music professionally is you need to draw a crowd. Is that something that you think about? Like, how are you going to get audience members to come back?
Sure. You know, you should only book one or two shows, and they have to be far apart, so you can get everybody there. I think it's just word of mouth. If you have really good music, it will speak for itself. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I've definitely thought about that. And before, when I was performing in L.A., like, yeah, I had to worry about bringing people, and it just, again, wrecked me. It ruined my whole performance. Because I was worried about, oh my God, do I have 30 people? Yeah. Oh my God. It's awful.
It's rough.
You know, but I mean, I'm not into just playing for my friends either. So I'm not going to have all my friends come out and, you know, it's about the music and networking. I was never good at networking before, but I've grown to have to do it and learn how to do it. And
well, let's go into another live song then. Okay. We'll let you speak for yourself then, as it were. What are you going to play?
This one's called, I just wrote this one. What you thinking?
All right. You're listening to Is Good on KillRadio.org, and my guest is Witten.
Let's see. I don't know what I want from you, but I want out. I need in. So what you thinking? I see you every day. It's such an unnatural thing. And every day you're getting stoned, you act all like nothing's wrong. Playing in the rain, built everlasting pain. When I try to ignore, my heart simply begs for more. See you every day. It's such an unnatural thing. And every day you're getting stoned, you act all like nothing's wrong. You touch my baffled heart, which tears my decisions apart. I see you every day. It's such an unnatural every day you're getting stoned, you act all like nothing's wrong.
Sounds a bit like me, actually. tell me, what don't you like in the music world today? What are things that you hear and you go, I should probably avoid doing that or writing that or becoming that?
Writing music for, you know, what people want to hear. You know, sitting down and saying, okay, I'm going to write this song and I'm going to make money on it.
So it's
That's
sort
not,
of
yeah.
capitalist intention.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, along those lines, do you have any music for sale?
I do.
Do you have a CD or anything like that?
Yeah, the last couple shows I've played, my New Year's resolution was to have some balls and book, you know, as many shows as I could. And the shows where you didn't have to bring people, like fairs and festivals and private parties or, you know, events like that. But so I sold some of my old CDs, and I actually had a couple fans come up to me, and they're like, what is this? And I'm like, what? They're like, we want your CD. I'm like, oh, right. I'll get on that. Thanks. And so I played a gig in San Diego, and they recorded it for me. And I was like, sweet. It came out really good. And I just released it last week, and it's called Witten Live in San Diego.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And it's as raw as it could be. And yeah.
Where can people get this?
At my shows.
Yeah.
Right now, but soon, CD baby.
Do you have any shows coming up?
I do. I have a handful of them. I have. I'm going to be back in Lestat's in San Diego, February 15th. Then I'm going to be playing the Hamburger Mary's L Word Party, girls, which is Sunday, February 18th. I'm playing in Los Angeles at Room 5, Sunday, March 7th, at 8:15. So all you Hollywood people, come on out.
I like Room 5. It's a nice place to go see an acoustic act.
It's pretty intimate, yeah.
Yeah, it's intimate. Yeah. It's kind of loungy. Uh-huh. And it's cool.
Yeah.
Have you ever played at a venue where you just felt, you know what, I really shouldn't be playing it. This isn't the right space
for me to promote
my music.
I've played so many of those places. I mean, like dive bars. Where there's drunk older men, you know, with no teeth, and they're just sloppy, and they're hanging all over each other.
And talking during the performance.
Yeah,
and
they'd scream something like, you're hot, take off your shirt!
Oh,
you know,
Jesus.
And I'm like, oh my, where am I? And their place is like, oh my gosh, South Carolina, and these little dive places, or Branson, Missouri, or crazy.
And have you sort of learned a lesson from that? Like, don't play in certain places, or do you do all your own booking, or do you have a manager?
The majority of the time I have, the managers that I have worked with in the past, I've had to let go of because, like I said earlier, I have a hard time. People can't keep up with me. And so I end up doing their job. Mm. It's a great learning experience for me, and I've learned so much, and that's why I've been able to do everything on my own. And you just can't wait for people.
Right.
You know?
Well, cool. I want to play this track that you brought in from your world music.
Okay.
From the stuff. Are you still doing the world music in addition to the acoustic? Whitten?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you have to come to a point in your life where you decide how you're going to make money at what you love to do. Playing guitar and performing gives me the experience and the motivation and the liberty to do things on my own. Now, my world project is... it's interesting. I'm putting together a whole production full of dancers, a Cirque du Soleil type fire dancers, tribal dancers. So it's definitely a huge project, and it's my main goal. It's my main priority.
And tell me about this track that we're about to play. This is the second track on the CD, right?
Yes.
That you brought in.
This is actually a track that was improvised on.
Oh, okay then. Mm-hmm. We'll go with
that. It's called Standing on the Edge.
All right. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Witten. You can check her out at myspace.com/WHITTON.
Thank you.
And we're back on Is Good with my guest,
hello.
Witten.
Hello, hello.
By the way, if you are listening now and you know someone who wants to listen to this but isn't at a computer and can't hear the live stream at the moment, this will be available for download. Just go to isgoodmusic.com or myspace.com/thisisgood. It'll take you there. And this interview will be available sometime this evening, so check back for that. So you improvised the vocals on this last track that we were just listening to.
Uh-huh.
Tell me about how you got involved in the project for making this music, and then I'm just desperate to know about the experience of, you know, improvising vocals to, what is it, it's like five and a half minutes long.
Yeah.
It must have been quite a challenge.
I was inspired to write the lyrics and improvise just right on the spot because I had a friend that was very suicidal, and that's what it's about. And it's that energy of, like, trying to do something for somebody, but you can't. You know, only that person could help themselves. You know, only they can fill that void. And so it's like you being outside the box and looking in, and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And so it just, that's how it came out.
But, I mean, you say you wrote it and improvised it? Is that, like, before you recorded the song, you sort of had some ideas of what you were going to put down?
I can write different ways. And when this song came up and I was working with a programmer, he was like, okay, listen to this and tell me, you know, how you feel. And I'm like, oh, this is good. And he started adding some stuff here and there. And at the moment I was like, oh, this reminds me of this and this and this. And then right on the spot, I sang what I had.
Did you record this whole thing in one take?
Yes.
Did it ever pop in your head about 3 minutes into the song that you were running out of steam, or
no,
were you aware of where the song was going?
I was so involved.
Wow.
I think that's what happens with all of my songs. Like, when I play, I close my eyes, and there's been some times when I've been playing and I close my eyes and I'm so into it that I hit my head on the microphone. And it's not too good.
Have you done other work of sort of an electronic nature like this?
I have, and I haven't released any of it because the rights, you know, to the programmers or the situation wasn't right, or you know, it all has to be the right situation. But I've been in so many different other types of music. My first band that I was ever in was called Jamie and the Blue Suits, and it was eight men and then me. So it was techno, ska, blues, and jazz all in one. It was insane.
Interesting.
It was insane. So that was kind of electronic. And then I was in a reggae band, and then I was in a country band. I've done all sorts of different types of music.
What are you going to focus primarily on, Witten Acoustic, for now, or are you going to continue to do?
Well, patience is everything. So I'm just waiting for the right programmer and somebody to work with for my world project. All the other stuff is the whole package is put together.
Mm-hmm.
The dancers, the whole thing. But I need the right music.
Right.
You know, the right energy. I mean, all music is energy. And when you create it with somebody, it's a love relationship. It's intimate. It's real. That's what real art is. It comes in within.
Well, on that note, why don't we play another song?
Okay.
What would you like to play?
This one's called Empty Spaces.
All right. Again, you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. My guest is Witten. Check out myspace.com/Witten and myspace.com/WittenAcoustic.
Regretful words, told me once time would fail us, yet you fill my empty spaces, yet you fill the hollow faces. Why can't one reconcile today? Yet you fill my empty spaces, yet you fill the hollow faces, yet you fill my heart.
We were talking a little bit earlier about sort of sound and image, and a lot of the way music is sold is with an image. I mean, mm-hmm. MTV is, you know, video killed the radio star. You know, I mean, it's right. Truism. Tell me about sort of your experience being treated differently in one arena or another based on your image as opposed to based on your music.
Well, it's interesting because both of my solo projects, my acoustic and then my world electronic project, my acoustic, I'm treated a little differently in general because, you know, my hair is down. I have long blonde hair. I'm just dressed down a little bit. And when I do my world project, I'm really eclectic. You know, I put my hair in all these different, you know, hairdos and wraps and braids and I have piercings and you know, my eclectic clothes. And so I'm actually treated more respectfully in that because I'm so different. I'm so that eclectic, you know, interesting, like, whoa, where'd she come from? But my acoustic, it's, you know, it's just different. I look like kind of the American, all-American type girl.
So do you find that people sometimes judge you first for being a girl and then for being a musician?
I think when I go on stage, people are waiting for me to suck.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Or...
Is that sort of, so you feel like you have this extra responsibility to sort of prove them wrong?
No, I just, you know, it's not about proving anybody wrong. I just go up there and do it, you know, because I love to do it. And if people like it, then they like it. If they don't, then, you know, usually they're really respectful and they just respect that I'm a musician in general. So, I don't have such a huge problem. I've had problems in the past, you know, when I was living in Missouri or Tennessee or South North Carolina, I would play these dive bars. It got really bad then, you know, because I'd have these big drunk men with no teeth and sweaty armpits and grungy clothes, you know, fall all over each other and yell obscene things to me. You know, so that's when it got kind of not okay.
So what do you do in that situation? You just ignore it and just focus
on
the music?
Sometimes, if I'm... depends who's with me, because if there's people with me, then I'll be like, hey, shut up!
Show some respect.
Yeah, but if I'm alone, I have to bite my tongue.
Right.
You know.
How far do you see yourself going with the Witten project, especially with Witten Acoustic? I mean, what kind of... And I ask this of everybody, it's sort of like, how will you know when you've sort of arrived in your place? Is it just to be able to do your music and be able to live off of that, mm-hmm. or is do you have an interest in things like fame or you know movie deals that come from music and whatever?
Well, I am a dreamer. I think big. I think really big. I would be content with living on the road and being able to do that and just making that, you know, amount of money for me to survive, and that's cool with me. That's what I want. But I think big. Mm. You know, I think big stadiums. I think, you know, this is where my whole show came in, so it's gonna happen. You know, I want it bad enough, and it's gonna take some patience, you know?
Do you think your music is going to continue to evolve? Like, it sounds like it's been through some dramatic changes from when you first started writing music.
Yeah.
Do you see it continuing to change, or are you, do you feel now that you've sort of found the kind of work that you want to do and you want to focus on that?
Well, I know exactly what I want to do now and where I'm going. And I mean, it can't get any rawer than that. That's like me and my guitar, and this is who I am, and this is what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Of course, every musician, every artist, everybody in the world evolves with time, you know, with experience. And I look forward to it.
Good. Mm-hmm. Do you have time for one more song?
Yeah.
I would love to get one more song out of you before we have to go. My guest is Witten, and you're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. And when we come back from this song, don't let me forget to ask about your shows again. You can remind okay. listeners where to go check you out. All right.
Okay. This is a louder one. This one I just wrote also. It's called Broken. It's kind of an angry one. I heard criticize me broken, a fool. That's not. Dear, it's too bad. Can't you? A fit wouldn't be broken. A tool.
Do you write a lot of angry songs?
No. No.
So something really awful must happen to get you to write an angry song?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you find that the songwriting is therapeutic in that way? That if you know, something happens to you and you're not able to process it or express it in a sort of direct verbal way, that it helps to write a song about it?
Every time I sing a song where I'm upset about or the opposite that I feel really good about, I relive it, you know, and so it's like my own therapy. Really?
And what about the way your audience reacts to these different kinds of songs? Do you think that they're drawn to one kind of Witten song over another?
You know, when I play live, I'm just learning about threads. You know, the songs that you put on CDs, like, and how to make the songs flow right. You wouldn't, put the last song I played with the first song I played.
Right.
You know, it's on a certain thread. And so, depending on what place I'm playing, you know, or what audience is there, if I go to a fair or where there's families there, I would play the more upbeat songs. But if it's an eclectic place, like an art show, I would do my dissonant, you know, eclectic songs.
But you'd still end it by breaking the guitar over a statue or something, right?
No.
Okay, then. Remind us once again where people can see you perform next.
Well, I have a show in San Diego at Lestat's Thursday, February 15th at 8:45. Then I'm playing at Hamburger Mary's in Newport Sunday, February 18th at 7. Then I'm in Los Angeles at Room 5, Sunday, March 7th at 8:15.
So everybody go check out myspace.com/WHITTON, Witten, as well as myspace.com/WittenAcoustic for more information on this artist. Witten, thank you so much for coming in to
Thank
Is Good.
You, John. Absolutely. Thanks.
You've been listening to Is Good on killradio.org. You can download this interview from isgoodmusic.com. I'll be back next week. Stay tuned.